We're continuing our class in the Jewish home, and I want to ask you a question. I have a friend whose son at age 13, they found a brain tumor by him.
A brain tumor.
And they tried to treat him, and they weren't successful. And then at age 14, it became very clear that the child didn't stand the chance to live much longer. And at age 15 or 15 and a half, the boy passed away. Now, what were the parents supposed to do with the child at age 13 and 14? Are they supposed to tell him, this is the prognosis? Are they supposed to tell him, this is what was found, this is what the doctors are saying, let's make the most of every minute? Or should they spare him that pain and just let him enjoy what he can out of the time that remained in his life? Which is what they chose. They chose the latter. They forbade the doctors and nurses from using the word tumor or cancer in his room. He knew he was sick. He didn't know what he had. And he was able to enjoy as much as he could the final 2 years of his life. You could agree. You could disagree. My point is, we look at values as though they're absolute. Be a truthful person. Really. It's a good value. But do I always have to tell the truth? Or can I avoid the question? Is it always correct to tell the truth? I was with my grandfather, and the prognosis was that he wouldn't live out the week. However, if he chose to fight for life, he could regain his health. And my grandfather asked me, and it was pretty clear the way things were going, that he wanted to pass on and that he wouldn't live much longer. And my grandfather asked me, am I closer to the land of the living or the land of the dead? He said to me, I don't understand what's going on here. Am I closer to heaven or closer to earth? Where am I? What am I supposed to answer him? The truth is, he's closer to heaven at that moment, right? But if he starts fighting for life, if he decides to fight, the doctors all said, it's a matter of his choice. If he gets the decision that he wants to, then things can start kicking in, he'll start doing things, he'll get better. And that's a very scary situation to be in. You know, I spent most of my time with him when he was awake, singing with him, encouraging him, you know, joking with him, trying to up his spirit so that he will want to live. So what do you answer at that moment? So I tried to lie. And I said, of course you're in the land of the living. In 6 months is your next birthday. We're preparing to celebrate your 93rd birthday. Right? Was that right? Wasn't the truth. Is that right? Let's take a simpler scenario. You come home, and your three-year-old kid comes up with scribbling that they've been doodling, black and red and purple and green and all these wonderful colors, and all you see is a blotch of scribbling. And the child goes, is it beautiful, Abba? Is it pretty, Abba? What are you going to say?
Of course.
Of course.
Yes.
Well, do we all agree on that one? Can we all agree? Yes? You're going to tell her it's gorgeous? It's amazing. And then when she says, I made it just for you.
Your heart melts.
What?
Your heart melts.
But why do you need to say that it's beautiful? I mean, if I think in the position as a father, and I see my child doing something, for example, painting in the wall, and then he said, okay, Dad, this is for you. I will say probably thanks, but it's not the way you can paint in a paper or something like. But
so we're saying on a paper. They made a drawing on a paper. Are you going to say it's nice?
Nothing ever again.
On a paper. Are you going to say it's nice on a piece of paper?
But how do you discipline your kid if you are not able to say, okay, it's not good or something like that?
But we're not talking about where they drew on the wall. We're talking about where they drew on a piece of paper. They spent a lot of time preparing something nice for you. It's, so with our children, we understand that we can say something even though it's not truthful because they need to hear it, right? Our children need to hear it, so we can say it, and it's not a problem. It's fine. You can say it. Child needs to hear it. What happens when your wife asks you, am I beautiful? What happens when your wife asks you, did you notice I gained any pounds? What happens when your wife asks you, did you miss me? And you're thinking, I enjoyed every minute you were away. It was good to have some time to breathe. What happens when your wife asks, who do you love more, your mother or me? What happens when your wife says, who's potato kugel, chulent, soup, apple pie tastes better, your mother or mine? Then men have this problem. They get real truthful. Well, my mother's apple pie. And then when the wife gets insulted, you're like, but you're amazing. But really, I right. So,
I'm glad you're in the class.
I'll tell you what, Gilad. When you're married, try it and tell me. Maybe I'll modify the class.
You're setting the poor guy up for disaster.
That's true. It's not fair.
It's not fair.
It's not fair. He's right. Okay. So let's
start.
Let's
notes.
Analyze Let's analyze.
You got a spare book if you want one.
What? Let's.
Okay, not sure.
I'll ask you a question. Us men don't ask these questions. However,
we don't want the truth.
However, what would happen if the wife would volunteer the information, and she would say, "You know, you dress nicely, almost like my dad." What would happen if your wife would say, you make a good barbecue? You know, my dad's is amazing. No, but yours is good too, right? What would happen if your wife would say, it's nice how you speak to the kids. My father is an amazing educator. You know, he really knows how to talk to each kid. At the Shabbos table, when he goes through the parsha with each kid, every kid feels special by my father. You also do a nice job. Wait a second. You also do a nice job. You know, you're good. You're good. You're good. My father's amazing. So suddenly the truth isn't so pleasant. So suddenly you have answers, right? But if your wife tells you, go eat by your mother, go! Then you feel like that's not fair. You're being indecent. You shouldn't talk that way, right? If the wife would tell us that, go to your mother, go. Don't ask me to make any more chicken soup. Forget it. Forget it. You don't like my cooking anyways. But I told you yours was good, right?
That's your kid, it's like your child. You ask them, okay, here's who loves you, and they just say, you guys, like, who makes the best child in the world? Like, is that kind of start?
I want to discuss that. But let's finish this, and I hope I'll get to it still tonight because it's an important point. Yes.
But for example, this is the case of the child. But in the other example that you give us about the tumor in the brain or something like, for example, if I talk as a doctor, for example, doctors are always like with the responsibility to say always the truth to the patient.
No. No, patients sometimes say, "Don't tell me."
Of course, but in principle, the when you study medicine, the medicine teaches you that one of your responsibilities is say always the truth to the patient. But if the patient says no, of course, respect the answer of the patient. But you must say the truth always to the patient. And for example, in this case, I mean, if the person that was keeping the truth was the parents of this boy, I think it's better to say the truth, and the boy can decide if he want to stop or he want to continue enjoying the time. No,
we could discuss it a different time. It's a good question. It's not the topic. It was an example. We're focused on the Jewish home. Yeah.
I also disagree with your first statement that a doctor has to tell the patient what's going on. They tell them what is best for them to know, for them to get better, for their health. They don't necessarily explain the full picture.
I told you.
It's not our subject. Let's move on.
Sorry.
I want to get to his question. It's very important. My point is that we men think that we work with principles. We tell ourselves we're very principled. But the truth is that we also wouldn't want to hear all the truth in our face. And it's a good idea to think about our answers. And I'm not advocating lying. I am advocating diplomacy and speaking lovingly, so that if your wife asks you, "Is this shirt tight on me?" so you can say, "It must have shrunk in the wash." Or you could say, "You know, they make things so tight today. It's crazy. No, you've been losing weight. How could it be that, you know?" There are all kinds of things you can say. And when your wife asks if she's beautiful, then the answer is yes. Always. And do you love your mother more than me? Of course not. How could you compare my mother's love to yours? Now, you keep thinking it's two different types of love. There's a mother, there's a... Leave it! The answer is I love you the most, period. Finish. That's what she needs to hear. And this is true on so many fronts. People really mess up their lives and their marriage with this idea of I'm going to be truthful. Leave it. Be diplomatic. Be loving. Find ways to say things that will make the other person feel good. And we all want to be lied to. We want it to be the truth, but if it's not the truth, then at least tell it to me in a way that'll make me feel like this is what's important to you. So I'm going to give you a number of lines that your wife wants to hear from you. And these are lines that you should remember. She wants to hear that she's beautiful. She wants to hear that she's beautiful. She wants to hear that she's beautiful. This is very important. She wants to hear that she's beautiful when she starts covering her hair. If she wasn't, you know, she always used to think her hair was a part of her beauty. Now she's covering her hair. She needs to hear that she looks good. Your wife wants to hear that you missed her. That means you went out to take the garbage. It's a good idea to tell her when you get back, "Boy, was that a long trip. I missed you." Yes, women want to hear that you miss them after 5 minutes, after 15 minutes, after an hour. The more you say it, the happier she'll be. Women want to hear that you have patience. Women want to hear that you want to schmooze with them. Women want to hear that you want to be with them. Women want to hear that they're the most important person in your life. Beauty, You missed her, she's number one. A woman always wants to hear that you love her. A woman always wants to hear that you adore her. It can be that you guys just had a fight and she asked you, do you love me? And you feel like saying, not now. Wrong answer. The answer is always yes. Very much so. We're going to take a tangent for a minute to discuss a question that was raised here tonight, because it's a very important concept. Is it fair for a father who makes good chulin to ask the kids, whose chulin do you like best? And the kids go, yours, Abba. And he goes, you sure you don't like Ima's better? No, Abba, yours is the best. So people have this nasty habit of trying to rub things in. It's wrong. But I want to discuss something else. This is just plain bad midos. I'm saying it's a not nice thing to do to anyone. However, there's a psychological component which we should be aware of. Psychologists call it a triangle. There exist relationships which are triangular, which means like this. Father, mother. Okay, that's one side of the triangle. And then father tries to align the kids with his side. So then you end up having father, mother, and the mother has to deal not only with the father on this side of the triangle, but also with the kids that are on that side of the triangle. It can go the other way too. It's called a triangular relationship, and it's wrong. It's destructive to everyone. Kids should never feel like there are two sides in a home. You and your wife disagree, take it to the bedroom and discuss it there. In the kids' perspective, there should be a unified front called my parents. One of the most destructive things you can do to a child is make them feel like Abba and Ima are on two sides. A child has to feel like you're united. So it could be that the child asked you something and you feel like saying yes and your wife is going to say no. You have to realize that I don't know if anything exists. I can't think of a single example where it's more important to contradict your wife than to give your child that feeling of security. I guess if it's a security issue, if it's a matter of their safety, you know, if your wife approved that he can go bungee jumping and you're not sure if anyone tested the bungee cord, if it's long enough, short enough, whatever, then I guess you should stand up and say, no, you can't do that. I know Ima said, yes, I say no. I guess there are things on safety matters, I guess you can't just give in, even if it means the child will see that. But short of that, almost always, I can't think of another example where you don't lose so much and you gain almost nothing. You gain mamash. What you gain is inconsequential compared to what you lose. So when my children ask me questions, they know my classical response is, ask Ima. And it's not because I'm avoiding it. It's because I don't want to contradict her. And sometimes I'll say, your mother and I have to discuss it. And sometimes I'll say, if your mother agrees, I agree. And sometimes I'll say, you could tell your mother that I agree if she agrees, which is a way of telling her, you know, I'm for it, but only if you're for it. Because, and it goes both ways, by the way. But at the end of the day, you definitely should not create a triangular relationship. Children should never feel like they can side with one of the parents against the other. That should be a non-entity in your home. Never. Never. I'm not talking about the issue of the chulin. If there's ever a discussion where you and your wife are disagreeing in front of the kids, and then the kids take one of your sides, then the answer should be, excuse me, you have no business being in this conversation. It's between me and your mother. And it doesn't matter that the child took your side. On the contrary, that's where it's important to stand up for your wife's honor and say, you have no right expressing an opinion against your mother. Excuse me. This is not a conversation with you. Your mother and I will discuss it. We'll reach a conclusion. We'll come back to you. But it should never be. That's something that you should avoid. It should be very clear between the couples that this is not a way to have a discussion or to develop a relationship. And again, it's a weakness that seems to exist because it's broadly discussed in psychology books. Not that I recommend you read them, but it is discussed there, and it's something to be avoided. We should pick up here probably next week. We didn't finish topic number one, but if you guys can remind me, let's pick up with topic number two, the idea of parents working together with children, meaning how to deal when your children ask you questions. Can we go on this trip? How do parents, how should you answer? Father, mother?
About dating or something like that? I mean, I know we did it a couple of months ago, but...
We usually do that in Tammuz. You have it online.